there's getting to be so many bears. Like between Vanderhoof and Smithers 2 weekends ago, we counted like 26 bears that we saw.
Holy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I've never seen so many bears.
This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK's Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation.
A recent grizzly encounter along a trail on Hudson Bay Mountain spurred an interesting conversation online. How are humans supposed to conduct themselves to live with these wild creatures, especially just as they come out of hibernation? Bears typically are in deep hibernation during the dark winter months of November and April, but it's not the same for all bears, as this depends on their location and habitat. For example, the bears that live on Vancouver Island and the more southerly coasts of BC will have a shorter hibernation period than our northern-dwelling bears in the Skeena-Bulkley Valley. Bears generally make dens within or close to trees, and leading up to the hibernation time, the bears will eat as much food as they can so they can pack on the weight they need to shut down for the winter. So come May and early June and July, bears will be out in force ready to fill their hungry bellies on berries, salmon, and whatever else they can get to sustain themselves. It's natural to be interested in these beautiful beasts. They are, at the same time, strong, fierce, cute, and extremely powerful. It's not our job as humans to manage their population and behaviors, but it's our job to manage our own behaviors as we continue to encroach on their territory and habitats. However, we want to live and explore all the beauty that this natural world has to offer, but there are ways to be smart about it. I'm speaking today to Conservation Officer Ron LeBlanc about the Conservation Office's role in public safety, focused on natural resource law enforcement and human-wildlife conflicts prevention and response. I'll also be speaking with Angelica Langen, co-founder of the Northern Lights Wildlife Society, about understanding bear behaviors as well as how to be safe when you're out on the trails, especially as this beautiful summer is unfolding. But first, an anecdotal account of a human-bear interaction on Ptarmigan Trail near Smithers. This is the phone call I had with Ginger Westbrook after I contacted her about a Facebook post that she shared on the Hiking and Biking Trails of Smithers Facebook group.
So we're up at the ski hill quite often, like pretty much every weekend. We see quite a few bears. Like, there's a black bear up there with three cubs, and she's fine. Like, she just wanders around, whatever. We've stopped and looked at her, stay in the vehicle, of course. But anyways, on Sunday, we're coming down the mountain to head back to Vanderhoof, and we saw the same black bear with the three cubs, and we just kept going. And then we come around, there's a trailhead. It's called Pinckney Ridge Trail, and I actually had never, like, I knew there was a trail around there, but I'd never really noticed the sign or anything before because it's kind of hidden back a little bit. But we come down, and there's a grizzly bear there. Well, it was a big bear anyways. My husband's like, that one's a grizzly. And I was like, well, slow down. So we slowed really, like, down a lot, and then he's like, oh, there's another one. He's like, that one's a yearling. And the yearling, like, instantly took off down the trail, and that's when I noticed the sign for the first time. But the mom, like, stood up, like, really rapidly, and then she pounced down and started, like, bouncing and barking at us and coming towards us. My husband's like, oh my gosh, because he has done bear monitoring and stuff before, and he just was like, that is a dangerous, aggressive bear. He was like, never have I seen one come towards a vehicle that hasn't even stopped. So I was just like, well, we should let people know, because that's a hiking, biking trail that people use quite often. I was like, if she's that aggressive to a vehicle that hasn't, like, we slowed right down, but we didn't stop, we didn't get out of the vehicles or anything, and for her to be that aggressive while we're still in a vehicle even, and we weren't even close to her, like a good, I don't know, I'd say 20, 30 yards, because she was off at a tree line and we were on the road. It kind of shook me up because it's not that far down the hill from where we are all the time, and my girls are outside playing. And, well, 2 weeks ago, we had somebody come up to just do drive-by while we were up there, and they said they've been seeing quite a few grizzly sightings up there. I'm glad we were in a car, because I honestly have no idea how I'd react to a bear attack. I don't know what I would do. Like, my husband, I was like, what would I do? And my husband's like, don't run. And I was like, well, obviously, but I was like, all I would know to do is curl my ball and cover your head. Like, I don't know how, I don't even know what, I don't know. I guess people just need to be more informed on exactly what to do if a bear is going to attack you, because I don't know that people really know what to do.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much, Ginger.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And to speak a little more about bear behavior, here's Conservation Officer Ron LeBlanc. Did you receive a call about the sighting on Sunday, the grizzly and yearly sighting on Sunday night? Have you received any information about that?
We have had another sighting there, but I don't think it came in on Sunday. So it was probably from another person in the area. So yeah, I know we've had one sighting there this year, probably a couple weeks ago.
And it was a grizzly as well that time?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk a little bit about, I guess, bear behavior from your perspective. What advice would you give for people if they do encounter a bear on a trail, on their bike, or walking?
Well, the first tip I would offer is preventative, and which is make noise, use bear bells, talk loudly, keep your animals close to you, and that alone will be a lot of prevention. And then should you happen to come across a bear, it's either going to happen in two ways. The bear is going to notice you first, or you may startle it. And so if the bear notices you first, more than likely they're going to run away. However, if you do startle it, it could turn on you. And if that's the case, ensure that you have bear spray and that you know how to use it, and you have your animals close to you so they don't, you know, attract the bear to follow. Because your animal is going to bring that bear back to you.
What do you do if a bear exhibits aggressive behavior toward you?
Well, you're going to want to make yourself look big and sound big, you know, yelling, screaming, waving your arms, and backing away. And you may have encountered a mother bear that's has cubs close by, maybe in a tree, or maybe it's a bear that's protecting a kill, in which case bears can be protective.
What do you do when you hear about a bear sighting? Is it your role to investigate?
It depends, and yes, there's a yes and no there. So if it's in a rural area, it's, you know, quite remote, and that's an area where we expect to have bears, and unless something has occurred where the bear is a predatory or exhibits predatory behavior, then that would be something we look at. But if it's simply a sighting, you come across a bear on a trail in a remote area, that's, you know, that's kind of where the bear should be. If the bear is in town, of course, that will raise concerns for us. Why is that bear in town? Is there a reason for it to be there, like garbage or other attractants? At which point we may have to either remove the bear, transport the bear, or in the worst case scenario, put down the bear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do live in the north, and we do live in an area with lots of bears, and it's going to happen. And it's just best practice to be prepared and have some knowledge and skills of how to handle an encounter with a bear.
Like, are the bears in the north here, are they healthy? Are they thriving? Is there a lot of change in their behaviors or habitats that you've noticed?
Well, they're definitely a healthy, vibrant number of bears, both black and grizzly. And if anything, the population's growing, and that's due to a couple of factors. With grizzly bear hunt is now banned, so that's been in effect for a few years now. And the reports that we get from these hunters that fly into some of these remote areas that they are seeing more grizzly bears out in the wild, and we have seen no. In fact, our bear complaints grow every year as communities grow and we encroach further and further into the bear's habitat. Yeah, with population growth and as more people move into some of these remote communities, we get more and more people calling about bears. So the bear complaints are going up. The bear numbers are very healthy and sustainable. And we see everybody that lives up here sees a bear this time of year, you know, every time they go out on the back road.
What is the best number for people to contact conservation office if they do, if they spot a bear or any sort of wildlife emergency that they want to make you alerted of?
It's going to be 1-877-952-7277.
Okay, great. And finally, I'm speaking with co-founder of the Northern Lights Wildlife Society, Angelica Langan, about human behavior with bears.
I haven't heard anything about it, so that's news to me. It usually means that people got too close to the cub, and if she really charged them. What they call a charge is usually a bluff charge. It's very rarely that they carry it through. Like, so they will come on, and then at last minute they kind of turn off and huff and make a big noise, and that's how they protect themselves when they're dealing with each other, so that those big bears try not to get into fights, because if they get injured, you know, their lifespan is shortened and all these kinds of things. So a lot of stuff is happening with posturing, just being very, you know, out there and huffing and making themselves big and doing bluff charges and turning off the last moment and those kinds of things. So that's how they deal with each other and other dangers, because they just very much on the top of the food chain. So usually scaring somebody is good enough, and then they're safe again. Most of the time, if people don't start running or acting stupid, then that's all it is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously there's no, nothing is ever 100%. There can always be an animal that doesn't follow the rules or the regulations or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But the big thing this year, I think what people need to be aware of, from my point of view, is that the snow level is still so low that the bears will come a lot lower than they usually do this time of year. And they have to be way more aware that they might be around. And if they have cubs with them, especially coming out of hibernation and in desperate search of nourishment right now, because a lot of them came out really late. Like, I know of several dens that are being monitored with across BC, whether you have bears in that have radio collars on and so on, and some of them perished in their den because the snow levels just wouldn't go away. They didn't come out, and then they starved to death. And others have come out and have gone way lower than they usually would do this time of year, because where they usually would go is everything is still full of snow.
Yeah.
So this is really something that people need to be aware of, and they have to expect to find them in places where they're usually not this time of year. And a little bit more grouchy, because they are looking for food right now and they don't want to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, we as humans keep on encroaching on their space, right? So it's like we're giving them less and less options. And really, if
exactly.
And then when
you have an event like this, it will bring them most likely in areas where there's more people and get them in trouble. And that's really where the coexistence comes in, and people need to educate themselves and know that they're going to be there, and that it's very likely they're going to run into them, and be prepared and have bear spray and make noise, and so that they can avoid those confrontations.
Yeah, because while the society will take in like orphaned cubs and things like that, I mean, really, like if someone, you know, spots or notices what they think, again, what they think or what they perceive to be aggressive behavior, but like what you said is probably like a bluff charge. You know, if they call the conservation office, it kind of almost is like, is that too reactionary, do you think? Or
no, it is definitely good to let the conservation officers know, so that they know that the bear is in the area. They can put up warning signs for other hikers and people coming in. So I think that's important. It's not going to mean that they're going to go in there with guns blazing and shooting the bear. They will just monitor the situation. They will try to regulate the public and say you shouldn't be going here, or if you are, then be very aware that you might be running into a bear and those kinds of things. So. And that protects both the people and the bears. And it gives the bears a time a couple of weeks, you know, to eat their full so that they're feeling like a living being again and not just starving. And then that aggression or protectiveness of space will tamper down, and plus it will melt in the higher areas and they will likely move up again.
Is there anything else that you think that people should know?
Yeah, no, it's really animals. Dogs should be on a leash. That shouldn't be running free, because if they charge a cub or even a bear and then all of a sudden get scared, they're running back to you because you're the pack leader and they're bringing the bear right to you. So that's not a good situation. And so dogs should always be on a leash this time of year for sure. And then very careful with attractants, that, you know, you don't carry anything super smelly in your backpack and so on. The smell is not so much out, and not leaving anything unattended on the ground. And
yeah,
that might lure either a black bear or a grizzly in. So that would be my advice. That what I would be doing if I'm going out now. I'm being very careful. I'm making sure that I'm visible and making noise if I'm in areas where the bear might not be able to see me. I was just out releasing grizzly bears, ours, and was out in grizzly country, and that's just what you do. You keep yourself in open areas so that they can see you, you can see them, and then those kind of surprise things don't happen. And if you happen to be in areas that are heavily wooded or bushed and so on, then make sure you make a lot of noise so that they know you're coming.
Yeah.
Bears will generally avoid contact. The only problem would be if they're on a kill, like for a grizzly bear or so, if they found a dead moose or a dead deer or something like this, and they're eating on it, then that can become dangerous because they will defend their food and they will possibly think that you're trying to take it away from them. So just being very aware of where you're going and always looking, and not, you know, definitely not wearing anything in your ears, like music or anything like this, because then you don't hear them. And that is really not a good thing. It happens every year with people that are hiking or running or something like this, and they have those earbuds and with some music blaring, and the bear is making noise and huffing, and you don't hear it, and then all of a sudden you're right in front of him. So that's a really dangerous thing to do.
Does NLWS, do you guys have any like work weekends? Are you looking for volunteers this year? Because I know you lost a lot during the pandemic, so are you guys looking for new volunteers? Do you have call-outs? Do you have open houses or anything like that coming up that I could promote and let people know about?
The volunteer positions are being filled again. People are out and about and they want to be part of it again. So that's a really good thing. We have the open house coming up on July 1st. So that will be something for the public where they can have the one day a year to look behind the scene after 2 years now that we couldn't do it. We're really looking forward to seeing people again. So that's on July 1st from 10 till 5.
Okay, great.
And admission is by donation. And so that usually sees a lot of people coming out. We have already 11 baby bears and some moose and beaver and fox. And I'm sure there will be more before July 1st.
Yep.
And so there's something to see. And we look forward to meeting people again. And in the meantime, till then, we're on the road trying to get the last 40 bears out.
Wow.
We had 76 this year.
76 bears?
Yeah. 71 black bears and 5 grizzlies.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, they're going back to where they came from. So we're taking 14 bears to the Caslo down there next weekend, that because they came from there from trail over to Christina Lake and Grand Forks. So we're releasing those. We released 12 already, in 10 in the Kamloops area and 12 in the Prince George area where they came from. So we travel in this month 33,000 kilometers to get the bears all back to where they go. And with the rising gas prices, we're struggling. It's been really tough.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, with everything going on in the world and people having less income available, so donations are less and the costs are way higher. So it's not a good mix.
No. Thanks, Angelica.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICKnews. CSCK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.